We gather in the Lord's house on this beautiful day that He has blessed us with to encounter the Holy Spirit. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to gather in the Lord's house on this beautiful day that He has blessed us with. We are excited to worship in His presence this day. We're excited to have a day where we can celebrate missions. God's presence. Anytime we gather in the Lord's presence, it is a day to celebrate. Today, that is what we are doing. We are excited to have back with us Carson and Laura Fashi, their entire family, a couple rows of family and friends. So thank y'all for being with us today. Carson and Laura, we're excited to hear what God has laid on your heart later on in worship. I'll officially introduce them a little bit later on, but most everybody already know who they are. It is good to have y'all back with us this Sunday morning. For those that are joining us this morning, those that are joining us via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this morning online. If you are joining us on Facebook Live this morning, we also encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for today's worship service, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you are a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us. You can fill out a visitor's card, and as you leave later on in worship, you can drop that off in the offering plate. If you're watching us for the first time online, send us an email. Let us know that you're visiting us for the first time, and I will follow up with you a little bit later on this week. Tonight, we are excited to have Carson and Laura back with us. We are excited about time to gather around the table with them for a fellowship meal at 5 p.m. Everyone is invited. You don't have to reserve a spot. We will have more than enough food. On the menu is chicken pie. I know our cooks, and they make very good chicken pie. I'm going to testify to that. So come out tonight at 5 p.m. For our fellowship meal, and then at 5:30, they're going to share about their ministry in Japan, something that we are excited about, and we know they have been in our prayers for many, many years, but I'm praying for them tonight at 5:30. So come out tonight for a time of fellowship and mission sharing. Then looking at your bulletin, a couple things coming up in the life of our church this Tuesday. Our ministry team will be heading again to the Golden Years Senior Center to lead in our bingo ministry. If you would like to go with that team this Tuesday, see Gay or myself this morning. We'll make sure you get in contact with our leadership. They'll be heading that team up. They'll be leaving at 1:30 on Tuesday to head over there. Also, just a reminder, Tuesday night, we are continuing our online summer Bible study, 6:30 p.m. on Facebook. Facebook Live. We've been looking at 1 and 2 Thessalonians. This Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m., we'll be finishing up 1 Thessalonians. We'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you haven't been able to join us yet online for that Bible study, you can go to our Facebook page at any time and catch up on those resources, previous sessions, and then catch up this Tuesday as we finish up 1 Thessalonians. You can also go to our website. The study guides for each session are there underneath our Bible study link. Also, as a reminder, in your bulletin today, we are collecting items for our food pantry during this month. Our food pantry has been hit hard over the last couple weeks. We've had quite a few individuals from our community that have needed that need. And some of the items, specific items that we need to fill those boxes are listed on your bulletin this morning. We're wrapping that collection up in July, but of course, as you know, that is a year-long project. So at any time you want to bring items for our food pantry, bring them. But I also wanted to point out that we also have an August collection that I'll be mentioning a little bit later on in worship service today. So notice that list there as well. We have come here to worship and sing praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us lift praise to Him this morning.
Psalm 95:6 tells us, "Let's kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, now is the time to worship." Let's stand. out with a broke arm. So as you see, we can't make it without her. We can't get the PowerPoint right, so it's our fault.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be home at First Baptist Church of Elon. It's always a blessing to join you in worship and for conversation. This fall makes 20 years since we first met, I've just aged everybody, including myself, but it is always such a blessing to be in worship with you. And we are so glad to be able to share this morning and this evening about where God is at work in our lives and where God is at work in Japan. So today's scripture will be from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12, and then 23 through 24. For the director of music of David, a psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
As we join our hearts in prayer today, I will offer the invocation followed by the Lord's Prayer in Japanese. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we gather here today, we praise you and thank you for this space to come and worship you. We thank you for the space to listen to your word, that it may stir our hearts and move us closer to you. We thank you for the space to gather with loved ones and our sisters and brothers in the faith. We thank you for the space to bring our full selves to you, to fill us and heal us. In our time of worship today, we ask that your spirit move among us, calling us to devotion and action, that we may continue to grow as we seek to follow our Savior and the one who taught us to pray, saying, Ten ni mashimasu, warera no chichi yo, negawaku wa mina o agame sase tame, mikuni o kitarase tame, mikokoro no ten ni naru gotoku, chi ni mo nasase tame, warera no nichiyo no kate o kyo mo atae tame, warera ni sumi o okasu mono o, warera ga irusu gotoku, warera no sumi o mo irushi tamae. Warera o kokoro mi ni awasezu, aki yori sukui idashi tamae. Kuni to chikara to sake to wa kagiri naku, nanji no mono nareba nari. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is To God Be the Glory. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Talk.
Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth.
This morning, our ministry highlight is that second mission collection that I shared that we will be doing during the month of August, but it actually begins right now. It continues through Wednesday, August 9th. It's hard to believe that the new school year is just around the corner, and I know for our students, they're moaning and groaning. Maybe some of our teachers are moaning and groaning as well, but we are just a few weeks away before the school year begins, and we want to make sure that all our students and all our teachers have all the supplies they need as this new year begins. To help and ensure these needs are met, we are once again helping through the classroom collection campaign sponsored by the Alamance Chamber of Commerce. Starting now and through August 11th, churches, organizations, and individuals are invited to collect a variety of school supplies that will be placed in the hands of students in Alamance County. Now, on your bulletin this morning, you will see a list of those items that are needed. These will also be listed in your August newsletter as well. That will be coming out hopefully later this week, but maybe the next week after that. Notice that there are items that are listed as highest items that are needed, priority items that are needed, and then other items needed. I hope you will prayerfully consider picking up some of these school supplies as you are out shopping in the coming weeks, and then you can drop those items off in the containers that are located either in the communication center or upstairs in the fellowship hall. Now remember, the deadline to turn in these supplies to our church so we can get them to the Chamber of Commerce is Wednesday, August 9th. So make sure you bring those items to the church by that Wednesday. Thank you in advance for your support of this collection. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon Brian Carroll for our offertory prayer.
Good morning. God ever put a song in your head that you can't get out? All week, this song has been in my head, so I'm going to use it to frame our prayer time together. You probably recognize some of it. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. What can we give that you have not given? And what do we have that is not already yours? All we possess are these lives that we're living. And that's what we give to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house today to lift up songs of praise, to learn together, to listen to your word. We pray that as Jesse brings the message in music and Carson and Laura, as they bring forth the message, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and you would help us to remember that our offerings aren't just something that we drop in a plate on a Sunday. Our offerings are our lives. Help us as we go from here to be filled up with your word so that we can be that offering to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flower, and you, its only seed. Dying that never learns to live. When the night has been too lonely and the road has been too long, and far beneath the bitter snow lies the seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the rose.
Thank you, Jesse, for our special music today. It is my great honor to reintroduce to you our guests this morning, Carson and Laura Fushi. We also welcome their daughter Ada and son Judah, who are upstairs in the nursery with us this morning. Carson and Laura are Cooperative Baptist field personnel serving in partnership with the Japan Baptist Convention in Kanazawa, Japan. Since their commissioning in 2013, they have been blessed to serve alongside congregations in the Hokuriku, and I told Carson I was going to butcher that first one, Hokuriku and the Kanto areas through preaching and teaching as they cultivate beloved community among Japanese and internationals. In 2022, they were called back to partnership with the Kanazawa Baptist Church, where their Japanese ministry began to help meet the various needs of internationals in the area. Throughout their service, the Fushis have been inspired by the faithfulness of the Japanese and internationals they have served with and amongst. Their hope is to continue to both learn and teach as they journey alongside these sisters and brothers to share the love of Jesus with all of their neighbors. You can follow the Fushis Ministry on Facebook or on Instagram on their Fushis in Japan pages. You can also connect with them by email. I encourage you to stop by the table as you leave this morning. They have a clipboard there. You can write your email addresses down. They will stay in contact with you. There's also postcards you can pick up that has their information on as well, so you can stay in contact with them during their ministry. As many of you know, we first got to know Carson when he was a student here at Elon University. And Carson, you dated me when you said 20 years ago, brother. I mean, I was here. It's hard to believe, 20 years ago. Amen. God works in mysterious ways in 20 years. He was an active part of our congregation, singing in the choir right behind us, helping with the youth, among many other church ministries, other things we would find him to do. But some of the things I enjoyed most were just the conversations. God works in the midst of conversations. We're also thrilled to ordain Carson in the gospel ministry here at Verse Baptist not too many years ago. I would encourage you to stop by the table as well. So we went through the archive to find some of the pictures of Carson here. There are some pictures that date us pretty well back there. So stop by the table and look at some of the pictures from many years back in the past. Carson and Laura actually asked me to share about another ministry opportunity coming up in this area. On Saturday, they will be at Ridge Road Baptist Church this Saturday coming July 29th from 12:30 to 2:30. They will be leading a missions, a lunch and learn kind of time. And they're talking about how to reframe missions for the local church. How can reconsider, how can we learn how to do missions in a different way, in a different world? And so they've invited anybody who would like to come. They will be leading this time, but what they did say is this: they are having a lunch as a part of that, and if you want to get a lunch, you have to register by tomorrow. So if you're interested in this, you can go to the CBF North Carolina website, register there by tomorrow, by Monday, to be a part of this. But it should be a wonderful opportunity to gather with Baptists in our area, as well as Carson and Laura, and y'all be in our prayers as you lead on Saturday as well. But again, it's good to have y'all back home with us here at First Baptist Elon. We look forward to hearing what the Lord has laid on your hearts this morning.
Got a whole collection of books here, so set that down. So our scripture today is twofold. It comes from Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, and then also from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Receive this word from the Lord. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords on the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven and above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies in peace, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And I'll read that again in the Japanese text. Shinko niyote, shufu Rahabu wa yosu o jujun na mono tachi to issho ni korosare nakute sumimashita. Amen. So last year we had a fairly heavy snow just before Christmas in our city of Kanazawa, Japan. On Christmas Eve morning, I joined a group of church deacons and several others from the community, unconnected to our church but just lived in the neighborhood, to plow and shovel the streets and the parking lots around our small church building so that everyone could safely be welcomed and worship together for the services that evening. However, the roads were still icy and covered in many parts of the city, and so we just didn't know who might be able to come and worship that evening. But amidst our worry, God was already at work. I found myself in and out of that early worship service that evening. We geared towards families with children so they could go on to bed. And this was mostly because I was on the phone with my Afghan friend, providing directions to our church so that his family, despite the difficult road conditions, could come to their very first Christian service. His young children had been asking him for weeks as they went through shopping malls and stores across the city about the Christmas decorations. And so when I extended an invitation to come with us to worship on Christmas Eve, he gladly accepted it. However, that evening, his wife was forced to work a little bit later in her part-time job, and so he was gathering up the children and rushing to go pick her up so that they could all come together. The refugee family finally arrived after the start of the service, and several of us helped to rearrange some chairs in the back of our sanctuary so they could all sit together and worship in this language that they knew very little of, but to try to grasp as much as they could of that moment. I was surprised to be called out of worship just several minutes later to greet another international family in English and help them also to be seated. And when I descended the steps this time to the welcome area, I certainly did not expect to meet another refugee family in our city. This time it was a woman and her three boys who were Ukrainian Buddhists and had been living in our city since the previous summer. Maria, the mother, was separated from her husband who was back in Ukraine fighting for their country. Due to their ties to a Japanese Buddhist group, Maria and her young sons were able to seek refuge and safety in Japan. They had very little experience with the Christian church, but had seen a post that I had made on a Kanazawa English speakers Facebook page about Christmas worship services, and they just decided to come. And though Maria spoke very little Japanese, she was moved to tears as the congregation closed that evening in singing Silent Night. After worship, she and her boys were welcomed by our Japanese and international friends that gathered for worship that evening, and one even took time to take them down to the fellowship hall and over coffee, opened up a Japanese storybook for children about Jesus' birth and translated it from Japanese to English so then Maria could translate it from English to Ukrainian so her boys could hear this story for the very first time. Because she had such a good experience that first night, Christmas Eve, she decided to come on that next day. Last year, you remember, Christmas was on Sunday. And so she decided to come again the next day and worship with us during our English worship service that Laura and I have helped to lead for several years, dating back to the time that we were there previously. And so from that weekend on, Maria and her family were a regular part of our congregation, especially our English-speaking international group. And during the service, while her boys played with our children and a few other kids that joined for worship, Maria happily sang worship songs together with us and heavily participated in Bible discussions. Our church also gave her free time to just be by herself from time to time in this different culture and place and language that she was trying to face each and every day. And they provided goods for her home, including some small pillows for her straw mat floors in the traditional home that she lived in. They also gave her rides during heavy snowstorms to her part-time work when her bicycle was just not the transportation that would work that day. We all celebrated when her husband was finally released from his military duties last spring and joined us for one of the highlights of our first year back in Kanazawa, which was a picnic underneath the beautiful cherry blossoms of the spring on Palm Sunday, as we and her family and this newly welcomed husband, again, as well as our international friends, gathered in community together and shared stories. Now, some of the ways that our community welcomed Maria could be considered cultural hospitality. In Japan and other cultures across the world, certain rules of etiquette exist in welcoming our guests well. And here in the Southeast, we call this Southern hospitality. However, this is also the expression of Christian hospitality, which is not only polite etiquette, but it's an act of faith. When we read about hospitality in Scripture, we learn that faithful hospitality often includes an element of danger or risk, or that expressing hospitality is simply recognizing the value of the person standing before us.
When we think of the many stories and lessons of hospitality in the Bible, we may think of Abraham welcoming the three strangers who we find out are angels, Jesus's welcoming of minorities like women, children, and the poor, or God's command over and over to the Israelites to welcome the strangers among them. Today's text, though set in a context of war and violence, is the story of Rahab's welcoming of the Israelite spies. Her story is told in the book of Joshua, but she appears three more times in the New Testament and became a prominent model of faith within the early church. In the Old Testament, we mostly read stories from the Israelites' perspective, but Rahab's story gives us an opportunity to engage with a main character who is not from Israel. Scripture tells us that Rahab was a prostitute, but it is likely that she managed her home as a type of inn. And though she lived in Jericho, she had heard of the Lord God of Israel. So when the two spies arrive at her house, she welcomes them despite the risk of danger to her own life. As we consider Rahab's point of view as someone who was not an Israelite, we might ask, why did she invite those two strangers in? Why did she go against her own country and people and commit such a dangerous act? While it took a lot of courage for her to welcome the two spies into her home, this act of welcoming was both cultural and faith-based. Within ancient Near East cultures, the practice of hospitality and welcoming others was carried out with respect, particularly between strangers. During a time when there would be many people traveling through enemy lands, there were strict rules about how to welcome strangers passing through. This was the cultural and etiquette part of hospitality. One didn't know if the stranger passing through would come bearing gifts or come bringing harm. So to keep everyone safe, there was a mutual, respectful welcoming of the stranger. When the spies came to Rahab and she welcomed them, she was following the cultural norms of that time. But the text tells us that she wasn't just adhering to her tradition. Rahab also welcomed them because of her faith. In fact, several verses in this passage is simply Rahab's confession of faith. Word of the Lord God had spread throughout the region, and like the Psalms we have that recount God's work throughout Israel's history, Rahab too testifies of God's salvation and deliverance of Israel and her belief in God's might. She proclaims, "The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below." As in other stories in the Bible, we see God also appear to and work in the lives of those outside of Israel. And in her trusting that God's side would be victorious, she thinks of her family's safety and makes a request to the two spies that they would protect her family in return. They make an agreement, and both parties, including Rahab's family, are protected. The next time we see Rahab is in Joshua chapter 6, after Jericho falls to Israel. Joshua keeps the promise between the spies and Rahab and saves her and her family, who then remain in Israel and live as strangers there. Then if we read further in the New Testament, we learn a bit more. According to the lineage written in Matthew 1, Rahab gives birth to Boaz. Boaz has a son, Obed, by Ruth. Obed's son is Jesse, and Jesse is the father of David. We understand Rahab's significance not only being a part of the lineage of David, but then she's included in the lineage of Jesus as well. The early church also emphasized her example. James 2:25 mentions her alongside Abraham as one who modeled both faith and good works. And then Hebrews 11:31, as we read earlier, summarizes her story. In the list of saints who showed great faith in Israel's history, this is what was said of Rahab. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had welcomed the spies in peace. Rahab welcomed the spies in peace. The original Greek for peace is eirene, and one of its uses is to describe the peace that exists between people. If we consider this idea of peace, could it be that we are able to sow peace through hospitality or welcoming others?
It's this question that has prompted us to reflect on our own experiences as field personnel in Japan. We stand in a unique place that allows us the opportunity to be in-betweeners as those who have received hospitality and now, as residents of Japan for the last 10 years, have the opportunity to offer hospitality. We are internationals who, by the invitation of Japanese Baptists, rely legally and emotionally on the welcoming of Japanese people to work and to live well. It is through the care and guidance of those inside and outside of the church that we have overcome various challenges and come to call Japan our home. And though we have been warmly welcomed, we are keenly aware of the differences that still remain between us and the majority of our neighbors, sometimes making us feel like outsiders. It is this part of our experience that we've also been blessed with, because it allows us to better understand the experiences of others living outside of their home countries and cultures. During our Japanese language school studies in Tokyo, we regularly heard stories from our classmates, especially those from East Asia, about their struggles in making friends with locals and simply feeling lonely. This was in part due to prejudice that some had towards the home nations of our friends, causing us to further realize the privileges we carry, even though we are also minorities ethnically and religiously. So we did our best to provide a welcoming presence and offered our prayers for these friends as they sought to make roots in their new home country. It's these kinds of conversations and interactions that are a natural part of our lives as internationals. Based on these experiences over the last 10 years as field personnel serving alongside the Japan Baptist Convention, we see the opportunity for Baptist churches in Japan to answer the call to welcome these ethnically diverse individuals into their communities. Now, we live in a time when people cross borders every single day as part of our global society, and so we coexist with people from various cultures and backgrounds. Now, in Japan, internationals account for just 2% of the overall population and thus are often isolated and under-resourced in a nation that really values a homogeneous society. An aging population and a low birth rate has also led to a steady decreasing population. It has been estimated that Japan will need four times the current numbers of immigrant workers by 2040 to sustain its economy. This is difficult news for a nation that values tradition and methodical change. So if this is what is to come, how should the church in Japan respond? It may be more simple than we may think, because like the two of us, the church in Japan also functions as in-betweeners. Though they are ethnic insiders, Christians in Japan are religious outsiders. Like the international population, the church also accounts for just about 2% of the total population. With an understanding of this minority experience in Japan, maybe the church can become a place to welcome foreign residents so that they too can live full and healthy lives in a nation that they call home. When the two of us think about Christian hospitality, we feel like this is the kind of work that God is leading us to partake in alongside the Japanese church. Now, God invites us all to nurture this type of hospitality in our hearts so that we can consider more deeply the ways that we are being led to welcome our neighbors. In our efforts to offer hospitality by welcoming in peace, like Rahab, we may not encounter situations as physically dangerous as the one that Rahab and the spies found themselves in, but rather we may be faced with the challenge of cultivating relationships of mutual hospitality at the risk of it changing us. As one writer offered, Joshua 2 tells a story of extraordinary reciprocal deliverance The task of the church is to be vigilant of the places and ways in which we build walls between us and them. In a pluralistic society, the church cannot arrogantly assume that the other has nothing to offer. Rahab and the Israelites delivered each other. Rahab's life and the history of Israel were both changed through her encounter with the spies and their mutual protection of one another. Because Rahab welcomed the spies, she came to live in a different country and culture and to know the one true God. Because the spies welcomed Rahab, Israel's lineage to David and Jesus included a foreigner and a former enemy of Israel. In welcoming others, especially those who are different from us, beautiful relationships can be born. Furthermore, whether we are on the giving or the receiving end of hospitality, we open ourselves to the possibility that our perspectives and behaviors will change. And in this transformation, we have the opportunity to join God as peacemakers through these mutual relationships.
For many years now, our partner church, Kanazawa Baptist Church, has welcomed internationals in peace. We have experienced this firsthand since we were commissioned as field personnel in 2013. First and foremost, it has done so through Japanese church members and internationals worshiping together, supporting the church together, and sharing meals together. This winter, after a long period of not having meals at church due to the pandemic, church members and participants of the English service that we lead gathered for a Shrove Sunday celebration before Lent to eat pancakes and enjoy fellowship with one another. But it happens in small things too. During every Japanese worship service, English or Japanese in the Roman alphabet is also displayed on the screen so everyone has a chance to understand and participate more fully in worship. There are three members who take time to translate sermons into English each week so you can read and follow along. Likewise, internationals support the Japanese church through IT support during worship, playing the piano for services, or offering sermons while our church is currently without a pastor. This kind of work is not always easy. Because of language gaps and cultural differences, there are times that communication can be difficult and misunderstandings can arise. But even if it is hard, if we enter into these mutual relationships, we begin to experience the diversity of God, and we begin to change as we open our hearts to one another. Our Ukrainian friend Maria has certainly left her mark on our community as well. In texting with her one night after we first met, she told me, "I need warm community right now, and I feel that in your church." But she was not the only recipient. We received from her as well. As she shared candidly about her experience as a refugee and single parenting outside of her home country, each of us learned more about the refugee experience. As a Buddhist with many questions about Christianity, she helped us see scripture from a different perspective and challenged us with how to clearly express the good news of Christ. Maria herself invited friends to attend our worship service, including a couple from Russia, to experience the warm community she had found. Together, we welcomed each other into our lives in peace. The arrival of her husband to Kanazawa brought some changes to her family's attendance in our weekly services. As a Buddhist monk, her husband often has responsibilities at a local temple on the weekends, meaning that Maria and her boys are not as regular of a presence at our church. Though we do not know what our relationship will look like going forward, we are so grateful that our church was able to be a place of comfort and community for her, even for a short period of time. Early last year, when Carson and I discerned with the Japan Baptist Convention God's call to return to Kanazawa to work alongside the church to support the spiritual and material needs of the local international population, we began to consider what kinds of internationals would be in our community. Moving from Tokyo to a smaller city in a more rural region of Japan, we told ourselves there will be university students and researchers, working professionals, and manual laborers in our area, but there won't be any refugees among the very few that are allowed into the country. But sure enough, less than half a year of being back, we met two refugee families who both were led to attend our church's Christmas Eve service, one whom we met by chance in the park as our children played, and one who became a part of our community during an incredibly lonely and stressful time in their lives. We simply do not know who will show up at our doors. We do not know who God will put in front of us in the places we find ourselves day to day. We may not even be prepared for the ways in which we might be able to walk alongside of them. But what we do know and trust is that if we have cultivated hearts of faithful hospitality that welcome both God in heaven and earth below and the stranger among us, we will be ready to welcome them in peace. We will be ready to be Christ's presence in their lives, and we will be ready for them to impact our lives in return. Welcoming our neighbors is an act of faith, an act of mutual relationship, an act of peacemaking. Where can you, where can First Baptist Elon model Rahab's faith in new ways and welcome your neighbors in peace? How can your practices of hospitality enter you into mutual relationships that change both you and the one whom you seek to serve? May we all respond to God's command to welcome the stranger among us in peace. Amen.
Thank you, Carson and Laura. And you've asked a very tough question at the end. And it's one that doesn't come with an easy answer. But it's one that has to be asked and one that has to be answered. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunities that you lie before us every single day. The individuals that we see and even the individuals that we do not see. May we be challenged to welcome those with peace. May our lives be changed and may their lives be changed as well. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning for our closing hymn, maybe you've been challenged by the music, the prayers, the Carson and Laura's sermon this morning. Maybe for the first time you've recognized how Christ has encountered you. And maybe today's the first time you want to welcome him in as the one who has changed your life. I'll be down front this morning. Maybe today you've been challenged by Carson and Laura's questions about how you too can welcome one another in peace. If you have questions about that, I'll be down front. Carson and Laura will be down front as well. They'll meet you at the pulpit as well. This is God's pulpit. It's not ours. It's his altar. And as also, if you're looking for a church family that seeks to open the doors to anyone, to those that seeking to find him, First Baptist Elon may be the place for you. Whatever you're challenged with today, answer it. Don't put it off. Open that door. Let's stand and sing this morning.
Say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. needs to be. With my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
They'll be seated for just a minute. I'm going to ask Debbie to come join me up front. Many of you have had a chance to meet Debbie over the last couple months. She's been coming for quite a while now, and we've had conversations on Sunday mornings, but today she has come this morning, decided to join our congregation here at First Baptist Elon. She's been a wonderful part of our congregation for many, many months. And she is coming to join by letter, and we are excited because she just feels like this is her home. She's been a special part of our congregation. So, and as I told Debbie, we don't love people. We just support you. So I'm going to ask the congregation at this time if you promise to pray for Debbie, if you promise to love her, if you promise to support her from this day forward. Now you see all those people standing up. They're standing on behalf of you, and they're staying alongside of you. And we look forward to walking alongside of you in the many days and months and weeks to come. So what I'm going to ask in just a few minutes, at the conclusion of the service, Carson and Laura, I'm going to ask if y'all would kind of walk out to the back, and then we'll greet people as they come out. Now, Debbie, I'm going to ask you to stay up front. We're going to have people coming in two different directions. Mm-hmm. So I want you to come and say hello to Debbie Morgan and invite her, welcome her to our congregation. And then I want you to meet Carson and Laura at the back. Welcome them back, and then again, as I said before, we are excited about having them back tonight at 5 p.m. For our fellowship meal. I hope everybody will come out and support them tonight. But let's close in just a prayer. Father, we are thankful for a day of welcoming, a day of service, a day of celebration. We have felt the Spirit move in this place today, and we are excited. We give you this afternoon, and as we leave this place today, we go out into a world that needs a lot of welcoming and a lot of welcoming and peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.